LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
Here we go, everyone. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. This week, we welcome our special guest, JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, bringing us today's topic, From Reading to Rootwork, Developing a Magical Plan. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, JD. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host, Reverend Art. Take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome everybody once again to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. If we're on the air, it must be Monday. Really, really excited for the show today. Couple quick shout-outs before we jump in. As I said, it is Monday. What does Monday mean? Monday means your opportunity to win a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. Take a moment, go out to the Hoodoo Psychic's Facebook page, find the Magic Mondays post, drop a comment, and you're entered to win that fantastic prize. You'll find myself there, you'll find Reverend James there, you'll find JD there, Miss Cat, and a whole host of other fantastic readers that are ready to help. $60 value, can't go wrong, just takes a comment. That being said, how are things going with you, Reverend James? What's new?
Well, not a whole lot. People that have been listening know that we have some moving boxes that we are currently going through, and that is still an ongoing thing. Whenever you have a couple of businesses and lots of websites to maintain, there is very little that really gets done in your physical immediate life, apparently.
Yeah, that's really no joke. And I'll just share with everyone, and JD actually heard this over the weekend as he messaged me while in the throes of sorting boxes. You know, I like boxed myself into the corner accidentally. It was a good thing I didn't need to get out, you know, for any kind of emergencies, bathroom breaks, anything like that. Yeah, it's a little overwhelming sometimes, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it. You know, aside from that, you know, a lot of good things going up. I know, Reverend James, you had mentioned last week a little bit about your new pujas that you'll be adding to the Folk Faith Ministries website. Did you want to talk a little bit more about that this week?
Well, I'm not really sure there's much that we can say more on that at the moment. It's still a work in progress. We're trying to add as many things as we can so that we can put a lot on the website at one time instead of putting one on at a time like piecemeal. But other than that, it's a work in progress as well.
And for anybody that may have missed it last week, what again is a puja?
It's really, I guess the simplest way that I could put it is just a ritualized prayer. It just, depending on, you know, whether you're in a Hindu religious aspect or a Buddhist religious aspect or bone Buddhist shamanism, it really depends on how exactly that ritual is played out. And then that also changes depending on which deity you're working with. But other than that, it's basically an elaborate prayer with lots of, or an elaborate ritual rather, with lots of prayers in it. So it's not just one prayer. There are multiple prayers. And you may have heard of like the 7 and 8 limb prayers. That's basically the basis for lots of pujas.
Fantastic. And I know we'll all be anxiously watching Folk Faith Ministries to see when those get added. Really, really a unique offering and a unique opportunity to provide assistance to people that you don't find just anywhere.
Yeah,
cool.
I think the
Very
only
cool.
thing that I didn't mention last week was that about we're still running on exactly how much the percentage is going to be, but I'm starting with it at the very least 50% of all of the proceeds from those types of services will go to propitiating Dharma work. So that would be like donated to monasteries or purchasing robes and things for monks, being a sponsor. Using the money to request pujas from various monasteries for instance, the customers that come to our website, creating books, creating hopefully in the future things like live Dharma discussions and sadhana practices live, things like that. Hopefully that will be able to help propitiate that.
And just to clarify, those are Buddhist monasteries and Buddhist monks that you're mentioning.
Correct.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, well, like I said, really, really excited for this rollout. And, yeah, stay tuned. You never know what's going to come next from Folk Faith Ministries and Folk Conjure. So we are joined by our very, very good friend today, Mr. JD, soon to be Dr. JD, of Hoodoo House Detroit. So how's things going with you, JD? What's new in your neck of the woods?
Hi, Reverend Art and Reverend James. Thanks for having me again. It's great to be here. Well, I've been working on as you mentioned, Dr. D, a lot of schoolwork. The semester is about to end in 2 weeks, so keeping busy with that. And you know, it's been raining here like every day. I feel like I live in Florida now. So, the grass in the yard is growing like 3 times as fast. So I'm literally out doing yard work, I feel like, every day, and weeding and cutting and harvesting some of the herbs and the, the plants that I'm growing. So some of them are finally starting to come in. So I got some jalapeno peppers coming in. I got some ghost
Very
peppers
nice.
Coming in. So getting those nice and ready. Ton of basil. I have more basil than I know what to do with, and that's coming from an Italian, so I don't even know. I can't even give it away. I have so much. People are like, you've given me enough. It's okay. So getting real creative with basil, too.
You know, basil's one of those, I mean, just aside from it's amazing culinary options, you know, it has so many magical properties as well. I'm sure with a little creativity, you'll come up with just the right uses for all that basil. But you're growing.
I was going to give you a tip. If you do grow too much basil, you can't freeze it. Otherwise, it'll turn black in the freezer. But if you blanch it, then you can freeze it. And then you can use it all winter. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. So if you freeze it, it could get like black and browny and gross looking. And though it still kind of smells and tastes the same, it just isn't visually appealing. But if you blanch it quickly, it keeps the greenness of it. And you can actually freeze it in like layers. So you could take out like a chunk of basil and toss it into, you know, what you're cooking, and still have fresh basil all year.
It's kind of funny because I actually did try to freeze. I had basil plant that just went insane. And I went to freeze some, and I pulled it out a few days later, a few weeks later, I should say. And it was like this black, slimy thing. So that is a tip that is very timely and phenomenal. But, you're growing jalapenos, you're growing ghost peppers, no Carolina Reapers.
No, what are these? I must learn. I grow peppers for my dad because he loves hot peppers. So, and they also
Carolina Reapers come from South Carolina, and they were bred specifically for being hot. They're hotter than ghost peppers.
Really? Oh, you've got to send me seeds next year so I can grow these.
We can do that. Yeah, the Carolina Reapers, those are. Yeah. And the ghost peppers are already out of my league, so
according to Google, Carolina Reaper is 2.2 million on the Scoville scale.
Wow.
Compared to ghost pepper
at 855,000.
Wow. That puts it into a little perspective.
Yeah.
So almost twice as hot.
I struggle with jalapenos on occasion. I'm good. So how's Hoodoo House Detroit? Anything new coming out? Any hot tips? New ideas? It's been a minute since we've had a chance to talk with you.
Yeah, well, the website, so me and James are eventually going to get together, although I haven't talked to him about it in a while, to revamp the website this summer. Reminding you to do that. and probably get some items put up on the website, because right now I do mostly readings and candles, and I'll make items, hand make them for a client, but wanting to start to put up some retail options of, if you just want to buy an oil or you just want a candle or, so having some of those things up on the website. So that's kind of one of the goals. I'm hoping from now until the end of summer to get that rolling and get that up. I've been doing a lot of relationship readings. I don't know if I can blame that on impending Venus retrograde that we're all in, for leading up to it, but there has been a lot of relationship struggles in the last couple of weeks and a lot of readings on them. So lots of candles have been lit and candle divinations have been read regarding them. And I actually have some candles going now, a couple runs going. A couple people wanted them to keep going through the Venus retrograde. One of the beliefs is if you any work you start before retrograde, you can keep. So if you were doing love work before Venus retrograde, you can continue it on. So by doing your candles in a run, you're continuing that work all the way through the run or through the retrograde. So I have a couple of those running right now.
Very cool. Very cool. Haven't seen so much the love aspect from my end. There's been a lot of health and situations surrounding illness and recovery. It's been actually a lot of energy work recently. Reiki, some quantum touch healing, things of that nature. So it's definitely a season of people with looking introspectively. I know Reverend James, you've had quite a good bit of
yeah, I was just about to say that I would tend to agree with JD that I have a handful of clients that I do long term work for in regards to love, and I've kind of advised them at the moment because they're trying to get specific people that right now, if they happen to see a little bit of pulling away or things not quite moving at the moment, not to be surprised, but to give it a little bit of time. So we're trying to work more, as Art was just saying, more introspectively. So kind of trying to guide my clients at the moment to look more at their self, the things that they're looking for, the things that they want, the things they want to improve about themselves for, a potential partner, et cetera.
Ms. Kat mentioned yesterday on the radio show how she called it the 40 days in the wilderness while retrogrades. And so if you think of it that way, it really makes a lot of sense.
And when it comes to love works, in some cases, some people can't see the forest for the trees. Just saying. But, for every season, we're here to lend assistance, guidance, and more. But so really kind of thrilled with the topic that you brought up for today, JD. From readings to root work, developing a magical plan. And I'm excited to get into it. I'm trying so hard not to just say, let's go right away. But, so much goes into building that relationship with your clients, building that trust and really coming up with that overall care plan. And I think this is a very timely discussion. It kind of fits in a little bit with the growing of your business series that we've had going with Reverend Roy and Papa G. Because it helps people to know what to expect and what not to expect. And I'm sure we're going to get into all of that once we truly dive in. Because there's a lot of practitioners out there that, and I see this quite frequently, where, someone will throw out there, oh, I have, insert problem X here. Situation Y, and it's almost instantaneous, especially if you're in a group of individuals, practitioners, that they just jump in with, oh, well, you should be doing this, and you should do this, and you should do this, and you should do this. It's kind of putting the cart before the horse, it's you're at diagnosis without triage. And you're not setting people up for success. So I'm really, it's a very timely and very useful topic that we'll be diving into. I mean, is this in up in the Michigan region? Is this something that you also experience?
Yeah, excuse me. With clients, you know, I mentioned this the other day to you, the importance of clients being honest, because, you know, I had a stretch of clients, it's almost like they all come at once, where they purposely withhold something, and though it comes out in the reading, you know, they're holding things back, which ultimately hurts them in the process of trying to help them. So, you know, like someone's with a person, and then you tell them there's a person there, and they're like, well, maybe, no, not really. And then, you know, 20 in the reading, they're like, all right, so I have this question about this guy. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought like 30 minutes ago, I just brought that up and you said, no, you're like, well, I didn't want to talk about it then. I was like, but the cards wanted to talk about it then, you know? So just being honest with your readers about what's going on and what you will and won't do. I think that's a big part, because we can recommend, suggest, and do lots of things, but if it doesn't fit with either your moral turpitude or with something that you would actually do, then be honest. So we actually can help plan something with you, not for you. So, yes, it's absolutely like that out here.
It gets to be like the Wild West. And really, you see it a lot on social media, individuals posting their concerns and their heartbreaks and so on and so forth. And you'll see just an overwhelming tide of cures, for lack of a better way to put it, you know, restorative or remediating responses to these posts, and never a question asked. And I always sit back and I think to myself, like, my first impression is always, you know, I flip through the Rolodex of questions. It's like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And nary a question asked. 108 posts. Can you tell I was just looking at one earlier today? 108 posts, not one question asked. And it's really one of those things that kind of goes back to also with, like, with Papa G's episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, when he was talking about how to pick a spiritual worker. So today kind of ties in a lot of different aspects of really how to maneuver, whether you are a practitioner for hire, whether you are a seeker, whether you are a student. You know, This brings together a lot of aspects of magical work that I think kind of gets pushed to the wayside, at least in my experience.
You know, one of my experiences, you know, whether it be people asking for help, whether it be, you know, on a forum, or it be, you know, just coming to you knowing you're a practitioner. They want, well, I want to do this work. I'm going to light this candle and I'm going to buy this product and that's what I'm going to do. And you're like, that's awesome. But why are you doing that? Well, I don't know. I read it somewhere. Or, well, I just like this idea. But the reasoning behind it has not yet been fleshed out or even understood. So why are you using, you know, sometimes it's things I've never even heard of. People are like, well, I'm going to take a, you know, I roll my body in salt. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Well, because I thought it would be a good idea. Well, that's cool. Not really hoodoo, but it's cool. So why are we doing what you're doing? Does it make sense for the work? Have we looked at the, done a divination to determine if the work you want to do is what is needed? So that, so when we've like, we talk about root work as like root doctors, it's prescribing, like that's part of the process. It's, we don't just reach into a bag and grab out a spell kit and, you know, throw them into the audience like we're Oprah. We actually look at what's going on with you. You know, we may use astrology. We may use the tarot. We may use, a pendulum. We may use our own, spirit guides or other divination tools. But ultimately, we're using tools to help us determine what's going on and then what work we should do moving forward. Oh.
Yeah, I just have this mental image now of, you know, just Oprah with, and a spell for you, and a spell for you, and a spell for you. We don't know what the hell you need, but here you go. It's just wonderful. Right. Why didn't she ever do one of those? I'd have been in that audience. Anyway, so I just totally, like, my brain just automatically, like, snapped back to somebody rolling themselves in salt and going, well, it sounded good at the time, you know. But to really bring this up or bring this kind of back together is, you know, it's not fortune cookie magic. You know, you don't just crack it open and whatever that says is, you know, set in stone. It's not something that, like, is a one size fits all situation.
To give an example, Reverend Art, is like, let's assume you have a cross condition on you, right? Maybe the person is using candles. Well, you want to go ahead and make, you want to make a doll baby to get the curse off you. Well, why did you decide that? Well, you didn't even look at what the curse is that's on you, and might as well ways of taking that off you using some traditional root work. So, you know, that's kind of why you want to look at what's going on. Same with, like, love work, reconciliation. Well, is the person with someone new? Have they been having an affair on you? Did someone do work to break you up? Those are all three different situations that require three different approaches. You know, just grabbing a spell out of, a Rolodex isn't necessarily going to help you if you don't know what the cause of the situation is and how to address it.
It's kind of like the AI root worker. It'll just spit out something that it slaps together from other experiences. So bizarre. And kind of dangerous in a way when you really think about it, because not taking that time to really dig in, aside from the potential of digging yourself a deeper hole to fight your way out of, there's some things that can do that can be really harmful. As an example, and this is something that Reverend James and I actually stumble across more often than you would think. The Red Queen Conjure, don't think that AI root worker could be coming. It's not a root worker. With aromatherapy and the use of essential oils, you know, whenever we are utilizing essential oils in practice, there's always the health questions, the jump in any time here, James. I just totally lost my words. Allergies.
Well, I'm not really sure where you're going with it. So,
but you know, the blanket safety things that we look for. You know, it never fails that we will always, Trollty, the eye of intelligence is usually lacking. We run into people that just will flat out say, oh, just, you know, put this in water and drink it, or just slap this on your skin. And if you ever want to see Reverend James actually have smoke come out of his ears, make one of these kind of comments in front of him. I'll let you talk a little bit more about this, like safety aspects for things like that, James.
Well, I mean, that's a deep subject. and it's not easily gone through in this. That might be something where we bring on Papa G and we can have an aromatherapist
round table
and mages convention. Yeah.
That's actually not a bad idea, because essential oil safety is essential. I mean, not to be redundant, but it's essential. And it is it does come into play for root workers as well, because with the condition oils and such that we make, sometimes you use essential oils in putting these on. And that makes a difference on, is should this be used topically? Is this diluted enough to be able to be used topically? Please don't eat.
Should I use this while I'm pregnant?
Right. All of those kinds of things. There used to – what was that website, Reverend James, that had the essential oil injuries? Yep.
Yeah, I can't recall off the top of my head. I think it moved. It was part of the Atlantic Institute of Aromatherapy. I'll do a quick search and post it in the chat if I can find it.
It was a very sobering look into the practice with essential oils. And I don't want to get too far off from the root work, but it's all part and parcel. It's all kind of tied together, where all of this, it's all part of what we do. And to jump right to cure versus triage is a recipe for disaster. But I think, you know what, I really want to truly dive into this topic. And I have a feeling that once we get on our usual roll, we're going to have quite a bit to say. So Reverend James, I think this would be a fantastic time for a few station announcements and some messages from our sponsors.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voigt, Tuesdays 4 to 5. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Thursdays. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. And so let's dig in to the meat of our conversation for tonight. From reading to root work, developing a magical plan. You know, how about you kick us off, JD? And we'll take it from there.
Sure, thanks. So when we were talking about this, what I was thinking about was, how do workers like us and even people, self-practitioners, ultimately diagnose and then determine what work needs to be done. And kind of looking at that process and what that looks like. So when you have a client come to you, ultimately, many of us use the tarot deck or pendulums or bones, candles, you know, even eggs. So for me, if I was reading for a client and they come to me and they're like, I've been cursed, I usually have some clear sign cards that pop out that tell me right away that either there's a curse or it's really just something on, you know, the person's mental mind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For example, getting the Tower card is often a sign for me that someone has a curse on them when that pops out, especially if the Death card is around. Very common. Also, if I see the Nine of Swords pop out, or even the Eight of Swords. So when I start seeing cards like this, or even the Hermit reversed, usually I start to think, okay, well, there's something here. And then from there, we start to flesh out, well, what's going on in your life? What's the situation? You know, and then really starting to make a plan on, well, what should we do to correct this problem? Now, and I'm going to start with on crossing work, because that seems to be a topic that's very popular, is we get clients who are like, I'm crossed, someone has crossed me, and you ask them how, they generally have no idea. So they haven't eaten anything, they haven't seen anything in the yard, there hasn't been anything buried next to them, there isn't, you know, anything under their porch. So it's a pretty good guess at this point that what was done was probably some form of candle or doll work, right? So
just some distance work.
Right. Especially nowadays, a lot of people are, especially like post-COVID, they don't really get, it's not like going to someone's house and doing hoodoo and then you got the cameras and stuff. So a lot of people rely on candles, dolls, jars. So when you start looking at the work from that perspective, then you start thinking about, well, if someone is doing candle work on you, how then can we remove that off of you? And what steps are best to take? Now, I always start clients with a cleansing of their house and them, because ultimately that affects the energy of the work, right? If you are covered in dirt, you wouldn't really, you know, be baking a cake, or you wouldn't really be, you know, you wouldn't go in front of, you know, the church covered in dirt, right? You want to cleanse.
One would hope.
One would hope, right? So after you cleanse yourself, then you're ready to start moving forward into your uncrossing work. So you've physically removed anything, any energies, any negativities from your home where you actually are. You've physically removed them from your body. Then you want to add a protection on you, like a fiery wall protection or protection oil. So now that you are physically protected from it, and now you're ready to do other uncrossing work. So if, for example, there's a great spell in Ms. Katz's Hoodoo Urban Root Magic using a candle where you flip it over, you cut off the bottom and you carve the top. You roll it in reversing oil and roll it in agrimony herb, and you burn that on top of a mirror. So you have the candles reversed, the reversing oil. Agrimony is known for removing curses. It's on a mirror, which reflects backwards. Then a nice add to it is taking crab shell powder and sprinkling it counterclockwise. And now you have a full
And why back, the crab shell?
So
there you go.
Bringing the curse backwards.
See, a lot of people wouldn't have caught that.
No, you're right. That's a good point. And then when you're done with that, you've now reversed through fire. So that's one way of, you know, you could use candle versus candle. That's one way of doing it. If someone is working water on you, then how would you counter that with baths, right? Or using earth, right? So you have to think about the elements and how they can balance each other or cancel each other out.
Uh-huh.
Now, like I said, it's less likely these days that someone is cursing you with water unless there's someone close to you. just because of, you know, if Suzanne from the office is mad at you, I don't know if she's sneaking in your house, pouring like, you know, cursing bath crystals in your tub, but, you know, if you're fighting with your roommate, that's a possibility. So you need to know about the proximity and the type of protection and cleansing that you would need really varies based on how close you are to the person who's cursing you.
And I mean, when you think about it nowadays too, with people going back to the office post COVID, there is that proximity concern there too, because you have to watch your cubicle if you have a locker that's specifically assigned to you. So there are some options there as well to pay attention to. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You have to, especially at work. There's lots of spells that someone can do through contact magic just through work. You know, dusting a paper that, you know, you pass out to all your colleagues and yours is dusted with loofah dust or crossing powder, right? Now you take this paper in your hands and then you put it in your desk drawer. Now you basically have this curse sitting there. And that's another reason why we go back to the diagnostic aspect of it, where we need to really use a divination method to determine who's cursing you and how they're cursing you. Because then it focuses our energy on how we're going to remove that curse and protect you from that curse. So in a divination method, when we're pulling cards, if, you know, if I'm being cursed by a woman, I might see the queen cards coming out. You know, if I'm being a male, I might see a king or a page card pop out. So using those cards to help you determine who these people are and your own intuition help you determine the people around your client and how you can help guide them to who's doing this and how to remove it from them.
You know, and one thing really, when it comes to this diagnostic level, it's today has been a Monday of all Mondays. Just going to say that. There really is, when it comes down to it, it's very much so like an episode of Magical CSI, Magical House MD, or Magical Forensic Files. A lot of times we really get very ingrained in really kind of digging in to get to the, no pun intended, root cause of these situations. And sometimes it could be the most wild thing that you just never would have expected, not in a million years. So really finding a practitioner that digs in is really kind of key to being able to achieve the outcome that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you reminded me, and I'm typing it in the chat, and I'll mention it as well, is that in the red folder, I just pulled it out, the Ms. Catt and other contributors discuss how to use the tarot to diagnose what is on you, and based on the card that you pull, or maybe even magic that you should do based on the card that you pull. And then they actually give examples of how to do that in the preceding pages. So just another great resource out there by Lucky Mojo.
Yeah, my suggestion is go back and listen to all of the Hoodoo Root Work Hours and listen to them and listen to what they say in the reading.
That honestly, and it's the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour is our sister show and absolutely phenomenal guests and information that's shared. But when you really sit down and listen to the intricacies of what they say, Ms. Catt and Conjure Man, truly, they put some very good ideas out there. And for anyone that has not taken the opportunity to go back and really listen to these shows, oh, do it. Take the time. Put them, listen to them, you know, download them onto a, you know, MP3s, take them with you in the car, go chill out at the beach and learn some root work. There's years of information. And maybe we can get, maybe Reverend James, if you, could you grab a link to the repository of all of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo root work hours? But go
you
ahead.
Mean the
continue,
forum
JD.
Link?
Yes, the forum link.
Okay.
You know, going back with when we talk about like the, you know, the client, they come to you, they have a cross condition. We know like maybe it's affecting their money. Well, then that's when we move into the diagnostic aspect and how we look in the cards. We might use pendulums. We might use our intuition, but we and oftentimes we use multiple tools to help us. And then we come up with a plan for the client. And, you know, I know me and you, what I do is after I come up with this work, I then ask, well, if we do this work, what will be the outcome? And then I read the cards to see, is it a positive outcome? If not, and then if it's positive, we move forward with the work. And I really want to emphasize with like doing work when you're planning work with clients is that sometimes you get questions like, can I substitute this for that? Well, there really isn't a substitute for like spiritual cleansing or a spiritual like bath. Like when you clean your house, either you're cleaning it or you're not. You know, there really isn't a lot of substitute. You know, and a lot of people, and I don't know if this is like the new age type thing where maybe people are just, they're looking for the quick and easy, but quick and easy isn't always effective and long lasting. So when you're getting a time tested and true method, it's because it has been used for hundreds of years and it works. And that's why we give you it in a way and ask you to follow that way. So you're only doing a disservice to yourself if you don't. So I always start my clients with a cleansing and then a spiritual bath. And after you cleanse, think of yourself as now being like white as snow. You're purified. Well, after you're purified, you want to replace that energy with the new energy you want. So if I was crossed and my money was crossed, well, I want to add money drawing oil or money or attraction and wealthy way oil to me because that's what I want back on me that's been taken away. If my love life was crossed, that after I take off the crossed love condition, I then want to add that love back because that's ultimately what I'm trying to return to me, correct? So, you know, you need to replace that energy once you take it off. Think about like after taking a bath, it's like a white canvas. And now it's up to you as the artist to paint the new, you know, image that you want with it. And from here.
It's very true. It's like doing a factory reset on your computer. You know, you go back, take it back to zero and start building it back up.
And from there, then we start looking at other works that support that. So let's talk about candles. Candles are a great way of spiritually connecting. They're a great way of uncrossing, of returning work, great way of removing curses or cross conditions that are on you. They go great with baths. They also go great with cleansings. So oftentimes we'll suggest candles, whether that be a reversing candle that the client does at home or we do for them, or if we do a 7-day candle while they do a reversing candle, but getting them involved with the work and having them be a part of the process of uncrossing is so powerful and important. So I like to do where I'll set, you know, 7-day candles and I will pray over it while they're also working a reversing candle at home. So it's kind of a twofold there. So that was my kind of my first one I was looking at was how do we start with the cross condition and end with the work that we do? And oftentimes the work comes out of our divination method and what we're learning about the client and their needs.
Go ahead.
I was going to bring up from the Hoodoo Heritage Festival this year, Andraman Ali with Lucky Mojo made the uncrossing love herb bath, right? And that, you know, we're talking about on crossing, that's a great bath for someone whose love life has been crossed up, you know, where you can actually use this bath to remove those cross conditions to get your life ready to invite and bring back love in. You could use uncrossing bath crystals to bathe and to remove those cross conditions. You know, you could do a mixture with money herbs if it's been, your money's been crossed. So really applying those things together and how it makes the right formula for your client.
And, you know, there's something to be said too at this diagnostic level about, as a client, it's very important for you to be completely upfront and really to be clear about the situations outside of the divination, any supporting information that you can share. Because, you know, the root worker that you're working with wants to help you. We want to get it right. We want you to come out on the other side and, you know, all sparkly and new and shiny. That's the ultimate goal, is to be able to return you to before crossed conditions or a cursing, what have you, took place. And so many people really, I don't know if it's a fear of judgment. That's been kind of my experience in this, is that people are afraid that they're going to be judged for this, that, or the other thing. And it really is, it should be a very judgment-free atmosphere. I mean, for those of us that are members of AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, you can very clearly see what areas we practice in, what areas we don't. There's ways to know up ahead of time if it's at least a tentative good fit before you reach out to any of us. And these are important things, important research steps on the client's part for developing a magical plan.
When you mentioned that about the judgment part, is that, being honest is so important, because if you are going to a worker and you're investing in them and they're investing in you, but then you're not being honest about what you're doing, then you're undermining the work anyways. So, you know, and I'm specifically thinking here about love work, particularly with reconciliation work. Where when you're trying to help someone reconcile and you have a plan and everything is set, and then, you know, you check your email in the morning and at 3 a.m. they're like, well, I told him to F off because he made me mad. And you're like, well, that wasn't his plan, was it? and now they want you to look back at, now what? Well, you were supposed to follow the plan, not make adjustments, you know. And so when we see something and it's in the cards and it's divinated outward and with a plan, I mean, this is how things should operate in order to get them back where you want them to be. And when you do those changes, you're changing your outcome and you're ultimately hurting the work.
You know,
it's funny.
JD and I have had this happen, and I know, yeah, James has as well, where you're trying to help someone and even as a root worker, as the one providing the consultation, you know, you're seeing in the cards or with the pendulum or in whatever divination method you're using that this is the way to go. And, you know, it's all laid out. Look at this beautiful map, this landscape. It's like, you know, angels singing, what have you. And shit just keeps not working. And you start to get frustrated, and it's kind of like, what is going on? And then you find out that the individual that you're working with is also doing this, that, and the other thing on the other side. It's like, oh, well, you know, we're supposed to, like, to use your example, I'm doing a reversing candle, you're doing an uncrossing candle, you know, we're doing this. Oh, well, I'm just going to do this candle, 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 this candle. And, like, they've maxed out the entire catalog of candles that they can possibly do. Totally bricked everything that you've been trying to accomplish. Oh, so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point too. And, you know, talking about fitting with our theme today about diagnosing and ultimately building a plan, more is not always better. And I get that with clients. I see that often on forums or, you know, when I'm at a shop helping people, is that more does not always mean better. Because you'll get people like, well, I want these 30 herbs in my mojo. I'm like, why? You couldn't even pronounce half of them. Might as well do you know what they do. More doesn't mean better, right? You can do really great effective work with a few items. Understanding why you're working with them, making sure they're the right items, and spiritually connecting with them is far more important than loading on extra and extra and extra items. So
all you have to do is really look at cooking as an example for that. I mean, like, for instance, you know, pizza's good, kiwis are good, and I don't know, biscuits and gravy are good, but you don't want to mix them all together and serve that as dinner because it doesn't all make sense. The flavors don't go together. Just because it's all good doesn't mean that it works.
Well, not only just that, but, you know, we'll use some of JD's basil. You're making some pasta. The recipe you want uses a teaspoon of basil. If you throw in a cup, it's not going to work. It's unless you really wanted pesto versus your marinara sauce, it's not going to work. That wasn't the recipe prescribed. That wasn't the root work envisioned. That wasn't the roadmap that the reading kind of shared with the client and the worker.
And in the chat, Nagashiva asks a good question to address. Attention to available power is helpful. What resources can be applied to what workings?
You know, the resources can be as limitless as the imagination. JD, what you were here previously, though, talking about the doctrine of signatures and things of that nature. Not every tool, not every herb, not every crystal, not every curio, what have you, is going to be available to everyone. So being able to pivot and utilize what is available can really... It allows you to really put the package together within the means of the situation. At least that's my take on it. But it still holds true that just throwing more at something isn't going to make a difference.
And looking at the question, what resource can be applied to what workings? Well, ultimately, you're the decider, and workers have their own preferences. I mean, we all have a preference for things we work with. I think part of that question applies to what the working is. For example, if I'm doing a love work where I'm trying to return a lost lover, one of my sources of power is going to be working with St. Anthony, the patron saint of lost things and lost people, and working with Balm of Gilead buds, which are known for reconciling, while I also recite Psalms 23 and 32 together to reconcile that relationship. So there is a source of a spirit power, working with the saint, working with the earth, and then ultimately working with, you know, the Bible, working with, you know, spiritual words. So that's a form of where that power comes together in order to facilitate that work. Now, that would be completely different if I was talking about trying to get money returned to me. I wouldn't be petitioning, you know, maybe St. Anthony for money when there's other things that I would probably do that I've had more success with.
Very true. You know, actually, we got in continuing the discussion. We actually a couple additional great questions in the chat. Where do readings information come from in tarot and other cartomancy? Can some of it be mistaken, wrong, or trickery? At least in my experience, you know, a lot of the information is guided by spirit. It's guided by the energies of the situation. It's the energies that are put off by the players on the field. It's the energy of, you know, astrological influences of the time. There are a lot of, there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle. And in using your chosen form of divination is really a method of putting those pieces together in a way to, what's the word I'm looking for here? To kind of remove the veil from the mysteries of what's causing the situation. Can some of it be mistaken? Yes. Why? We're still human. We're not omnipotent. We're still human. And there's other factors that can also be involved there where, you know, is the information we're being fed from the client completely clear, completely truthful? Can a situation be read wrong? Of course. There really is a, you know, it goes back to, you know, at the end of the day, we are still human. Trickery, that's something that for me, has been mostly something that once in a while you can get some, if you're not careful, you can get some spirits called in that don't necessarily want to help. They just kind of want to hang out for a while and will guide along and mess along with whatever it is you're doing. So it takes a level of discernment and intuition really to be able to work through the chosen forms of divination to get to that answer. A lot of compiling, it goes back to, you know, being like the forensic files of magical situations. Do you want to toss anything in on that, JD or Reverend James?
Yeah, to you on all of that. That one, I mean, being a reader is an art that in its own way has a type of science behind it. And we all have developed skills, and we also use tools in our own ways. Some of us use multiple tools. Some of us use no tools. I mean, so that they come together collectively when you do a reading to help you collect the information necessary to help your client. Can mistakes happen? Absolutely. If we said we are 100% all the time, then we'd be liars. Can information be wrong? Absolutely. I mean, you could see something and think it's one thing, and it ends up being something completely different. Like, I think that's important to be honest, that we all have had, you know, false positives in a reading, and then there's other times uh-huh. where we've nailed the bull to the head, right, where it's just, you know, you're even surprised that you're like, wow, that was really cool. Like, I nailed it that time. But reality is, yeah, there are those things. And trickery does play is like, you know, and though it sounds like trickery in the aspect of spirits, but you also have trickery of sometimes clients when they come to you
yes.
or mentally ill clients where they try to manipulate you into doing a working that they want even though it's not good for them. And I'm speaking specifically for a client that I had a couple months ago, and some other AIR members had this client, and you know, they wanted to do certain workings, and they would twist and turn everything they said and everything they knew and the emotional plea to try to get what they wanted, you know, and that's a level of trickery. And if you're not, you know, aware of it, or if you're not, you know, spiritually conscious or paying attention, like, yeah, you might fall for it and do the work. And then realize a couple weeks later, what a bad idea that was. So there is, all of those are real examples. Calling on God and access to ultimate power, unlimited power. Sorry, I read that wrong. I think calling on God is very traditional in hoodoo, but I don't think it's the only source of power that is used in hoodoo. I don't know if it ultimately gives you unlimited power. I think that would be a bit of a stretch to assume that. Just because you called on God that you have that, because ultimately God is the decider in the work, and you know, he can very well say no. Great example of that is healing work. You know, we can have every intention, every candle, every herb that we want to heal, but ultimately the answer is no. And times we have to, you know, let people or animals go due to that, because what we wanted wasn't with God's will. So that's my thought on that.
Honestly, I support your views on that situation as well. You know, it, and really, I'm just going to throw in, it doesn't matter if you're using God, capital G, or God, plural gods, lowercase g, the entities that are being called upon can choose if they want to work with you or not. One topic that JD and I were tossing around as an idea for a future Mystics and Mages is specifically working with saints and spirits and how to do that. And, you know, while this does go into kind of off to a tangent on building that relationship, and it's a very important discussion to have in a future date, we will. Just summoning, or maybe I don't want to use summoning, just calling upon any of these entities does not grant unlimited access to what they bring to the table. You know, there are some in spirit that are very much, you know, as they were on this plane, some, and granted there are some that are in spirit, but that are, have never been on this side of the veil. You know, if they were cranky on this side of the veil, chances are still cranky on the other side of the veil. So to call on them, they might hear your plea and say, F off. It's very easy.
Yeah, and to jump on that with you, you know, you're reminding me of, like, I have a great relationship with, you know, St. Expedite, and there's many times where I've had answers to prayers within hours or 3 days answered. And then I'm remembering one where I really, really, really wanted this job, and silent that job. And it took me probably like 3 months till I realized, well, it was the best thing for me, because really that job would have sucked ultimately, and staying where I was actually better. But, you know, having that relationship where just because he's answered 5 of my prayers doesn't mean he was going to answer the 6th one, because the 6th one wasn't answered in this case.
Very true. And, you know, we're talking in the chat. There's a little discussion in the chat about spirit testing. Phyllis, I'm not 100% sure where that the workshop you're asking about exists. But, you know, there are ways of testing the validity or the intentions of a spirit that comes through. I like to use a pendulum. That's one of my main go-tos for something of that nature. You know, I get my yes, I get my no, and then I ask questions that I know the answer to. I've literally asked things like, do I have blonde hair? I never have, nor will I ever have blonde hair. At the best, I'm going gray. And I've had it say yes. It's like, okay. So apparently I'm a blonde. And I'll ask, you know, is my name this? You know, things of those that nature. And kind of build that dossier on is this spirit here to help, or is this spirit here just to jerk me around? I think another really good point that was brought up by Troll T, you know, when it comes to, at least for the practitioners, when it comes to doing workings and you know, prescribing and such, is the workers really do need to know their limitations and where they're becoming over or hyperextended, because that will affect the outcomes as well. The relationships you've built with spirit or spirits, saints, individuals, gods, so on and so forth, does it affect how often you can go to them? Yes. Like JD just said, you know, you can go to them 5 times. That sixth time, they might be on break. They're taking their 15. It's something that each individual practitioner needs to know about themselves.
And Nagashiva gave some great points about that too in the chat, about there's different methods and based on backgrounds and trainings and traditions. So you probably do an entire radio show on this topic alone, on testing spirits, might as well. So, I mean, a great question and great information, but yes, testing spirits is a thing, as Reverend Art and Nagashiva have been talking about. And I think Miss Robin had a show on it once as well. So, yeah.
So we've talked about, you know, the diagnostic, the forensic files part of root work, and the development of the plan and the needs to kind of adhere to that plan. One thing
I point one thing out. Nagashiva was talking about is, like, you know, the idea of doing 20 different workings at once. And one of the reasons I look at that is a lack of faith in the work. When someone wants to do 15 different reconciliation spells within 5 days, right? You don't have the faith in the first one, might as well the 15th one, to do the work.
Good
that you're literally running from spell to spell to spell. It's almost like I kind of look at it as, like, you know, shooting a shotgun just at a fly and hoping one of them sticks. and that lack of faith is part of the problem with the work, right? So there's a difference between doing a set amount of workings to support your spell. Let's go with reconciliation. I might do a moving candle spell while I have a honey jar, which sweetens us together, and I'm reciting Psalms 23 and 32 to reunite us, right? Those are three different things I'm doing at the same time, but they collaborate. They support one another. They support the work. You know, and then if I get to see my wayward lover, I might put some, you know, sexual fluid into their food as a way of, you know, affecting them. So I'm doing those tricks on the side. I might purposely have reconciliation oil on my hand. So I purposely, when I hug them, I touch them and I get that oil on their body, right? So that's something I might do because the opportunity has arisen to allow me to do that. But I'm not running to every spell that exists, trying them, hoping one of them is the ultimate cure to my problem.
You know, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. And one thing that I did want to add to the conversation that goes along with this developing of a magical plan is really the ongoing aspect of it. For instance, you know, you make a mojo for someone and, you know, at first they're gung-ho, they're feeding it and they're taking care of it and it's going great, you know, things are wonderful up front, and, you know, all of a sudden, oh, you know, I'm too busy today, I didn't get a chance to feed my mojo. You know, one thing that needs to be a part of these magical plans is kind of depending on the length of the work and the expectation of the length of the work. In a mojo, kind of like a honey jar, kind of like a sour jar, any of these type of things, they are longer period works. You do have to maintain some level of testing. You know, like for me, using a pendulum to check. I use pendulums to test my crystals. It's like, okay, are you needing for a recharge? You know, mojo bags, you know, you still with me? You still breathing? It's kind of like the EKG of the mojo bag. And it's important to have that aspect going while you are doing some of these longer works as well. What are your thoughts, JD? And Reverend James.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, just to jump in, I'll let Reverend James get a thought, but absolutely those check-ins are important. And a lot of us have clients who will check in midway, maybe 2 weeks after the work has started. How are things going, right? We look at the candles that we're burning. We read the divination signs in them, using pendulums and stuff to check on them. So, yes, absolutely that's part of the work. I've been saying a lot to clients lately is that oftentimes with work, it's a marathon, not a race. So whatever you're doing, like, are you looking long haul and how you're going to sustain this change that you want in your life? So if you're doing love work and you really want to bring in a love and you really want to get rid of that toxic love that you've had in the past, well, we're talking a marathon work here. We're not talking bada bing, bada boom, you know, burn some sage and you're off on your set to find new love. Like, well, we got to help you get over those past hurts, you know, clear that out of your life, helping you find new love. And while you're finding this new love, helping you not self-sabotage it and maybe, you know, lighting candles to help you build up yourself, dressing you with oils, like you said, having a mojo on you that helped influence you. So thinking of the long term of the work and what that looks like to achieve that goal. Some goals are micro. They're very short. I applied for a job and the interview's in 3 days and I really need this job. That's a quick turnaround. But then after I get that job, I might start looking at, well, how do I keep this job? And that's the maintenance work. Well, I want to keep the job, steady work. I want the boss to like me, boss fix, and I want to be successful, crown of success. So now I'm using these products at work in order to keep me successful and happy at work, right? And it's much easier to do that from the beginning than it is to come 6 months down the road and go, well, my boss is a jerk. Can I use boss fix now on him? Well, yeah, but it would have been easier if we started with it. You know what I'm saying?
Very much so. It's, you know, being proactive plans is, yeah. I mean, honestly, it's paramount in so many cases rather than, you know, to be reactive. And because when you're reactive, you're playing catch up. you have to, you're digging yourself, you're climbing out of the hole that you may never have been in the first place.
That's a great point.
And you know, the only thing that I have to really contribute to this that you guys, I don't think I heard anybody say, was that, you know, sometimes you have to redo something or do something again or keep doing something. I'm always recalled to that one story, and I think Miss Cat always goes back to it too. It's a 13-year work of that woman keeping her husband, and every year she'd have to do something different and change the work up and keep it going to keep him faithful. You know, it's not always a once and done kind of deal. Like you were saying, JD, it's a marathon. Sometimes if you want to keep what you got, sometimes you're going to have to work on that for the rest of your life. It's not just going to be something where you can get something and be done with it. That's like, you know, getting a job. You know, once you get a job, doesn't mean you can just sit around and collect money. You have to continue to go into work and work for that money.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides of having a job. They actually expect you to work.
And Reverend James, that's one of the things I noted, and you're right, and I'm glad you pointed that out, is like with spiritual work, particularly with cleansing and keeping things off of you, is that I'll be like to a client, have you done a spiritual bath? Yeah, I did one 3 months ago. I'm like, so the answer was no, then you haven't done one, right? Like, and these are those type of workings where you really should be doing those regularly. Just as you clean your house, you brush your teeth, you also should really be taking of your spirit the same way. So keeping up with that spiritual practices, and I'm glad you pointed out, is that this is ongoing work. This isn't a one and done. I took a bath and now I'm good for a year. No, I take baths regularly for that very purpose. So that was an awesome point. Thanks.
When they approach a root worker, don't really take into consideration the maintenance, the long-term maintenance, in some cases, aspect of what it is they're asking. And that's one thing right at the beginning in the reading, at the reading phase, I make every possible effort to ascertain if this moves forward, is this something that you are willing to stay with for however long is needed? You know, we've talked in the past in side comments about setting time limits on works. And that for drawing things in, or when it comes to things like reconciliation work and so on and so forth, you know, it's feasible to set, you know, say a 3-month goal and say, you know, after 3 months, this didn't happen. I'm fine with that. I'm at peace. Move on. Other things, you know, if it's a health concern, that may be something, especially if you have something chronic, you're going to have to continue to work at it. And are you going to put that work in? Very important to ascertain at the beginning so that you know as you're developing your plan what is the ask of me?
Yeah, to drive that home, it's called root work. Key word here is work. You know, there is no easy street. You got to get in and do the work, whether that be taking the bath, dressing your mojos, lighting your candles, making your prayers, you know, getting up before sunrise to take your spiritual bath and toss that water as the sun rises, right? That's all part of the work. And when you start chipping away at it, saying, well, I like to sleep in, chip, chip, chip. Well, I'm tired. I'm not going to light that candle today. Well, now you're taking not only away from the work, but you're also taking away from your faith in the work. And, you know, that kind of just breaks down the work, really. And that's your point, is you got to have stamina to do this work. If you really want this to come into your life, you really want this person back or you really want this job, are you willing to do the sustaining work to keep it the way it is now? So, yeah, that's a great point.
For sunrise? Oh, my God. That's hilarious. You know, so many
people
struggle with those, you know, at sunrise sort of dedication moments. It's like, yes, dear, you do have to wake up and be ready. Are you dedicated? This isn't something that we're just saying to do just to totally foobar your schedule. There's reasons behind this, the timing and so on and so forth, the tradition. And so many people hate those early mornings. Phyllis, I'm right there with you. Staying up is definitely easier than trying to get up in most cases. And there've been some moments I've done that myself. I can freely admit that.
Well, when you want something or you need something, you're going to do what you got to do to get it. That's just how it is.
And that's something that folks definitely need to have, is that upfront dedication. And I just realized we're almost out of time. Wow, that flew by so fast. You know what, JD? Is there any final thoughts that you'd like to toss in?
I was just trying to catch. I realized I didn't look at the chat for a minute, and I'm like, oh, I missed a lot. So I'm just catching up. Yeah, Phyllis, it would be awesome to just stay up and just do it and go to bed after. I wish I could do that. the thought I had when we were talking about the timing, it actually reminded me of this saying that Ms. Kat has taught me, or at least a statement is like, when people are like, do I have to do it, this love work on Friday with Venus? She's like, well, no. But do you think you're stronger than that entire planet that's moving? No. You know, so keep in mind why we do the things. Think about that.
Good point. And there's our music. We are out of time for today. I hope everybody has enjoyed your time with us this evening. Until next time we meet, keep the magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, JD, of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from Paganistan in the Twin Cities of Minnesota will be Doc Murphy with a discussion on culture and magic. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at FolkConjure.com, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics Thursdays and Fridays from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archives via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. From all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics Mages and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics Mages Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back at this next week at this same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
You know, thank you, JD of Hoodoo House Detroit. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Open door. Come back whenever you'd like. Everybody, have a wonderful week. Keep that energy built. Don't forget, Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychics.